Our scripture for today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, reading verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he has raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." May God add to the reading and hearing of this, his holy word. Would you pray with me? Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. When we were young, we were invincible. At least we thought that we were. We thought that we could do anything. We could go anywhere. Granted, things that we could get into were not really too dangerous. And our parents were always there to make sure that we didn't kill ourselves. We thought that our loved ones were invincible as well. Nothing can seriously harm us or the people that we love. And this goes on for a number of years. We're having fun. We're enjoying being with mommy and daddy and our brothers and our sisters if we had them. We enjoyed being with our grandparents, great-grandparents, and in some cases, great-great-grandparents. It was the same thing. We enjoyed being with our aunts, our uncles, our great-aunts, our great-uncles. We enjoyed the time. My dad's mom lived a block over and three quarters of a long block up. And I remember spending many summer days sitting on the swing with her. Or going to grandma and grandpa's house out in the country and enjoying the time out there. But then one day, as is inevitable, things start to change. All of a sudden, we begin breaking bones, getting sprains, getting whacked in the head by a baseball or something other than that. Our families get seriously ill, need to have major operations, get cancer, or some other serious illness. And eventually, the people that we love begin to die. And that sense of invincibility in ourselves and in the people that we love erodes away. And we begin to realize just how fragile life can be. We become aware of our being fragile physically, again, by the broken bones, by the sprains, by the deep gashes that sometimes happen, by the car wrecks. We become aware of physical fragility when we see our loved ones in the hospital fighting for their lives. A number of my great aunts and uncles suffered from cancer, and I remember visiting them in the hospital when they are on chemotherapy. And if you have not seen someone that is taking chemo, it will break your heart. And the sad fact is that we as people, we're more fragile than we actually know. As we grow, as we get older, and life becomes more complex, and we are able to do more things, we have more opportunities to choose from. It becomes more and more apparent just how fragile we really are. More and more we begin to see just how many vulnerabilities that we have. As we grow up, we start dating. We start going steady with someone. And then something happens and you break up. And those that have gone through that know that it is a traumatic time. And you feel fragile. You don't know what happened. All that you know is a piece of your life that you enjoyed is gone. We begin to understand how emotionally fragile that we are. And a lot of us, as we get older, start to realize that that strong faith, that faith of a child that we had, is not quite as strong as we thought that it was. We begin questioning the things that we believed. We find out that to a certain extent, we have spiritual fragility. Now, hang on a minute. I can't afford to be fragile. I can't afford to have these vulnerabilities. I can't afford to go absolutely to pieces when I break up with the boyfriend or girlfriend that I have been seeing for a number of years. I can't be like that. I can't let people see that I am anything less than perfect. Because if I do show that I am fragile, if I do show that I have vulnerabilities, other people are going to be constantly judging me. Can he really do this job? Can he really do this task? My God, he is such a mess over just something that happened in his personal life. I can't show my fragility and my vulnerability because people will not understand what is going on in my life. So better to take and to hide that. Better to take and put on a happy face. to disguise the chaos of our fragile lives. And we get really afraid when someone else opens up to us and shows us just how vulnerable and fragile that they are. We're afraid because that breaks through this happy face that we have put on and reminds us of how fragile we are. It means that we might have to admit that we're vulnerable, that we're fragile. I had a coworker who would always, he would say, "Hey, how are you today?" And I say, you know, something back to him, perhaps about something with work or at home. And he said, "No, no, no, Tim. The correct answer is, I'm just fine." How many of us have had that same wish? That when we ask someone, "Hey, how are you today?" that they would simply say, "I'm fine." We don't like to deal with other people when they are in a fragile or a vulnerable state, because we don't know how to deal with it always. But the thing is that the longer we deny just how fragile we are and how others are, more damage takes place. The more that we deny how fragile we are and the vulnerabilities and the things that are going in our life, the harder it becomes then to deal with things. And usually, it leads to a traumatic event where all of the crap that we've pushed down comes spilling out all at once. And it's difficult to deal with. It's been said that there have only been two perfect people to have walked the earth. Anybody want to take a guess? What? Jesus was one. The other one is God himself. So there's only been two perfect people that have taken and walked the earth in its existence. Now, since they're perfect people, it must mean that both God and Jesus are invulnerable and lack, that they are invincible and that they lack any vulnerabilities, that they lack fragility. And yet in the scripture today, we see that Jesus was indeed fragile. Put yourself in the place of one of Christ's followers in the house of Lazarus. You have seen Jesus heal people. You have seen Jesus change people's lives, in many cases simply by the words that he used. And you firmly believe that he is indeed the Son of God, that he is Messiah. He must be invincible. Nothing is ever going to happen to him. He is going to be with humankind forever. Nothing can take and stop him. And yet he said, "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Wait a minute, Jesus. I think what you're saying is something's going to happen to you. That can't be. That's impossible. You're the Son of God. And yet we see Jesus once again foretelling his death, his leaving earth, his physical body dying. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we're all familiar with what goes on during Holy Week. We're familiar with the garden, with Jesus going off and praying and basically saying, God, my Father, I know what's coming. I know of the suffering. I know it's for a good cause, but God, there's got to be another way. Because I don't want to do it. He was scared. He was vulnerable. He was fragile. Just like us. So what does this fact that Jesus was fragile, that he was vulnerable, what does that mean to us today? Well, I think the most simple explanation for that is that it's okay for us to be fragile. It is okay for us to be vulnerable. It is okay for the people around us to be fragile, to not be perfect, to experience the same things, the same feelings, the same situations that we feel. I think it also means that we really shouldn't be too concerned about how fragile that we really are. That to a certain extent, we need to accept that we are physically, emotionally, spiritually fragile. And that's okay. It is okay to be fragile. We don't need to be afraid of not being the perfect person that we think we should be. That we need to acknowledge the ways that we are fragile, first to ourselves and second to those around us. And we need to extend mercy, love, and compassion to others in their fragility. We need to not let our being fragile stop us from doing things. In extending mercy, love, and compassion, it's very interesting because if you look at the scripture today, when Mary is taking this expensive perfume, usually meant to be part of the burial process, Judas gets a little bit out of whack and says, basically, Mary, what are you doing? You're wasting perfectly good perfume that you could take and sell and give to the poor. He's not extending grace. You could say that Mary was showing a bit of her vulnerability because of her love of Jesus. And here you got Judas saying, no, you can't be like this. You can't be like this at all. I said we need to not let our being fragile stop us from doing things. My friends, the biggest way of being fragile that we have is that one day our bodies are going to stop. We're going to die. We have a certain number of days allotted to us on this earth. And we need to take and we need to use that time wisely. Instead of worrying about our needs, our vulnerabilities, we need to be more focused on using that time more wisely, using that to further God's kingdom, to be doing God's will. It would be nice if we could achieve perfection here on earth, if we didn't have vulnerabilities that made us fragile, but that's not the way life can be. We need to accept that we lead fragile lives. And that life is good enough. Amen.